Good evening, Zimbabwe. This is Change Radio News. Today is Wednesday, 4 March 2026. The news is read by Rutendo Jinsara. Here are the news headlines. Government spokesman faces backlash over election remarks. Change Radio airs episode 2 on the amendment bill. New death threats on Maduku. For the news in detail. Government spokesperson Nick Mangwana is facing heavy criticism for comments on social media suggesting Zimbabweans do not want elections every 5 years. He cited low voter turnout in the 2023 elections as proof. His remarks come amid heated debate over ZANU-PF's proposed constitutional amendment bill, which critics argue would extend Emmerson Mnangagwa's term by 2 years. Civic groups say low turnout reflects a loss of public trust, not a mandate to alter constitutional timelines, and are calling on authorities to restore faith in the electoral process. Meanwhile, former Harare East MP Alan Markham has also weighed in. He reminded Mangwana that voters were turned away in 2023 due to ballot paper shortages and that numerous presidential rallies were stopped. Markham said ZANU-PF wants to extend the president's, MPs and councillors' terms specifically to avoid facing the electorate. He also pointed out that Zimbabwe's voter turnout remains above the SADC average, challenging Mangwana's claims of widespread apathy. Following yesterday's inaugural episode of Did You Know, where we unpacked the proposed constitutional changes, today we focus on the amendment process itself and where the public fits in. Amending the constitution is not like changing an ordinary law. It follows a special legal process. First, the proposed amendment must be published in the Government Gazette, a step known as gazetting. After that, a 90-day public consultation period begins. During these 90 calendar days, Parliament must gather citizens' view through public hearings and written submissions. Our reporter gives us more.
Did you know? In today's episode, we focus on how the constitution can be amended and where the public fits in. Changing a constitution is not like changing an ordinary law. It requires a special process. First, the proposed amendment must be officially published. This is called gazetting. After it is published, the constitution requires a 90-day period of public consultation. That means parliament must allow citizens to give their views through public hearings and submissions. All citizens are encouraged to participate in these consultations. Those 90 days are calendar days, not working days, are already ongoing since the gazetting was done last month, February. Only after that period can Parliament begin debating the bill. Then both the National Assembly and the Senate must each pass the amendment with a two-thirds majority of all their members. But there is something else important. If a proposed amendment affects fundamental constitutional principles, such as how leaders are elected or how long they serve, it must also go to a referendum where citizens vote directly yes or no. Why does this matter? Because the constitution belongs to the people, major changes are not meant to happen quietly. They are meant to involve public participation. In the coming episodes, we will examine whether the current proposal may require a referendum and what that means for citizens.
Fresh death threats have been made against the constitutional lawyer Professor Lavmo Maduku. His party offices along Hebe Chitepo Avenue were defaced with graffiti reading "Unofa Maduku," meaning "you will die." The incident follows an alleged assault on Maduku by suspected state agents for opposing plans to extend presidential term limits. Prominent lawyer Fadzai Mahere has condemned the attack, calling it a dark stain on Zimbabwe's democracy and a violation of constitutional rights. The Secretariat of Southern Africa's former liberation movement is meeting in Dar es Salaam, bringing together ruling parties that led anti-colonial struggles across the region. ZANU-PF Secretary General Jacob Mudenda is expected to attend alongside representatives from South Africa's ANC, Angola's MPLA, Namibia's SWAPO, Mozambique's FRELIMO, and Tanzania's CCM. However, critics argue that while these movements once championed liberation, many of them now face accusations of political repression, particularly during elections. Civic groups across the region say ruling parties have been accused of restricting opposition space, limiting media freedoms, and using state institutions to maintain power. The Dar es Salaam meeting comes as several of these movements grapple with declining popularity and growing calls for democratic reforms. The Supreme Court has upheld 18-year prison sentence for former Delaftin civil engineering employee Jacob Muyambo and Seimu Mutakura. The two were convicted of stealing and selling residential stand worth $3 million. They were initially sentenced to 20 years by Harare Magistrate Stanford Mbanje, with 2 years later suspended on the condition of good behavior. The government of Zimbabwe has urged citizens living in or traveling through the Middle East to limit non-essential movement as fighting intensifies between Iran. The United States and Israel, in a statement, Foreign Affairs Ministry spokesperson Felisiwe Chidawanyika advised Zimbabweans to follow local safety guidelines, register with the nearest embassy or consulate, and prioritize their personal security. The Zimbabwe Tourism Authority has shut down more than 30 unregistered tourism facilities nationwide following the expiry of a February 28 compliance deadline. The closures affected premises in Mashingo, Gweru, Marondera, Bulawayo, Chinoy, Mutare, and Harare. Authorities say the move is part of efforts to formalize the sector, improve service standards, and protect visitors in line with the Tourism Act. And in news from local communities, ZANU-PF Chiredzi South MP Joyce Tole has been implicated in alleged abuse of constituency development fund resources. The complainant comes as Chiredzi West MP Darlington Chiwa faces corruption charges over similar allegations. Several other MPs in Mashingo and Bikita are reportedly facing related claims. However, party insiders suggest the allegations may be linked to internal political battles over candidate selection. A 2-year-old girl has died after being attacked by two Boer bulldogs at a family home in Bulawayo's Douglasdale suburb on Saturday morning. The child succumbed to her severe injuries at Mpilo Central Hospital shortly after the incident. Bulawayo Provincial Police spokesperson Nomahlanga Masebele confirmed the tragic event, stating that an investigation is underway. In international news, Iranians are preparing to bid farewell to Supreme Leader Ali Khamenei, who was killed in joint airstrikes by Israel and the United States in Tehran. State media say a 3-day farewell ceremony will begin Wednesday night at Iman Commune Prayer Hall in the capital. Funeral arrangements are ongoing with large crowds expected. Senior cleric Aham Khatam says the assembly of experts is close to selecting a successor. Khamenei's son, Mojab Khamenei, is reported to be among possible contenders. Meanwhile, Israel's Defense Minister Israel Katz has warned that any new Iranian leader deemed hostile to Israel could be targeted. Khamis, who was 86, had led Iran since 1989, succeeding revolutionary leader Ruhollah Khomeini. Veteran South African politician Moussa Lekota has died at the age of 77. A prominent anti-apartheid activist, Lekota was imprisoned on Robben Island along Nelson Mandela. He later served as defense minister from 1998 to 2008. Lekota was a key figure in the African National Congress before co-founding the Congress of the People Party. And finally, in sports news, the Zimbabwe Football Association has officially launched the new Unumutapa Cup in Harare, set to become the country's biggest knockout football competition. The tournament will feature all registered clubs from top-flight teams in the Premier Soccer League to grassroots and lower division sides, including women's league teams. Winners of the Unumutapa Cup will secure a spot in the CAF Confederation Cup. The tournament is valued at $25 million over 5 years, with $5 million injected each season. To end the news bulletin, here are the headlines once again. Government spokesman faces backlash over election remarks. Change Radio airs episode 2 on the amendment bill. New death threats on Maduku. And that concludes our bulletin for today. We thank you for listening. From myself, Ruthendo Chinzara, and the entire team at Change Radio, we wish you a good night.